I'm Farah Duro, and you're listening to the PCOS Revolution podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the PCOS Revolution podcast. When it comes to getting healthy, Dr. Tom O'Brien's goal for you is to make it easy to do the right thing. And I'm honored to be speaking with him today on the subject of improving our gut health to start reversing our PCOS symptoms, which we're going to be doing a deep dive into today. Now, for those of you who don't know him, Dr. Tom O'Brien is considered a Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease and teaches that recognizing and addressing the underlying mechanisms that activate an immune response is the map to the highway towards better health. As an internationally recognized, admired, and compassionate speaker focusing on food sensitivities, environmental toxins, and the development of autoimmune diseases, Dr. Tom's audience has discovered that it's through a clear understanding of how you get to where you are that you and your doctor can figure out what it takes to get you well. Now, along with being the author of two best-selling books, You Can Fix Your Brain, Just an Hour a Week to the Best Memory, Productivity, and Sleep You've Ever Had, and The Autoimmune Fix, he's a founder of TheDoctor.com and the visionary behind the Gluten Summit. And this is so exciting to talk about. We haven't discussed it yet. So welcome, Dr. Tom O'Brien.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So I'm so excited. I have a little bit of a cold today, but I think that people listening will know how excited I am to talk about this because there's been some recent research that we haven't discussed on our show about PCOS and the gut microbiome and this being a very promising treatment. So can you tell us a little bit about what interested you in, first of all, the subject of functional medicine and really what that is for our listeners that are not familiar with it?
When people are diagnosed with a condition, whether it's diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis or PCOS or recurrent miscarriages, whatever the diagnosis is, it's like they've fallen over a waterfall and they've crashed into the pond below. They swim up to the surface and they, they got him alive, spitting out water and trying to stay afloat in the pond of diabetes or in the pond of PCOS. Whatever the diagnosis is, they're trying to stay afloat. But it's really difficult to stay afloat because the water is so turbulent. Because the waterfall keeps falling into the pond, and you're in the pond. You're in the pond of PCOS, or you're in the pond of diabetes. You know, you're still living the lifestyle that caused the problem to develop. So we all need to stay afloat in the pond when we've gotten a diagnosis. So we all need the life jacket to keep us afloat. So if you need medications, you take the medications. You have high blood pressure, you take the medications, don't be silly. But you don't stay in the pond, in the turbulent waters of the pond. Swim over to the side of the pond once you're stable. Get out of the water, walk up the hill, and walk back upriver to find out what fell in the river that carried me downstream and I fell into the pond of PCOS or diabetes or rheumatoid arthritis. That's functional medicine. We call it going upstream, which means you're going back up the river to figure out where did this come from? And unfortunately, we've all been raised in a culture that says you have a symptom, find what pill to take so the symptoms are suppressed. And it's important to reduce symptoms so we can function and take care of our families and do our work. It's critically important. But that's not the treatment. That's just to keep you stable in the pond. You know, we call that life jacket medicine. And it's really important to have life jacket medicine. But you don't stay in the pond. So your question about the microbiome and PCOS is a great, great question because what you're saying in terms of the example that I've just given is what fell in the stream of the microbiome that carried me down and I fell over the waterfall into the pond of PCOS. Is there something in the microbiome that's contributed to this? And the answer is yes, absolutely, there can be. It's not the primary trigger for every person, but it is the primary trigger for some people. And so having an understanding about the microbiome, what is this thing called the microbiome, is critically important as we're looking for better health and vitality.
And why do you think that in women with PCOS, the gut microbiome, or your good flora, right? Good and bad. Yes. Why is it less diverse in women with PCOS, according to this recent research?
That's really a good question. It's because of the lifestyle the person has lived up until that point. For example, some things you have control over and some things you don't. For example, you've had antibiotics in your life. They wipe out the good guys in the gut. And for some people, you never recover. For others, they recover most of the good bacteria that was there because the antibiotics kill the bad guys, but they also kill the good guys. And if they kill too many of the good guys, then more bad guys can rear their ugly heads and come up. And you have what the geeks call dysbiosis, meaning an abnormal microbiome. So it's lifestyle, and lifestyle means the foods that you eat, the beverages you drink, the air that you breathe, the medications that we've taken over the years, the drugs, the supplements that we take. They all have an impact on the environment of your gut. You know, there are arguably 10 times, some studies say more, some studies say less, 10 times more cells of bacteria in your gut than all the cells in the body put together. And that bacteria has genes. So we know that the human genome is about 23,000 genes. We now know that. But the bacteria have genes that are 100 to 150 times more than the human genome. About 3 million genes they have found, and some studies say a little bit more, but at least 100 times more genes. Now, genes control function. Genes determine what proteins our bodies make, and it's not just the human genes, the bacterial genes. For example, we know that for every one message from the brain going down telling the gut what to do, there are 9 messages from the gut telling the brain what to do. That the microbiome of the gut determines, the technical term is modulates. And what it means is the microbiome has its hands on the steering wheel of how your brain functions. Now just turn your steering wheel a little bit to the right, 5 degrees to the right, and within a quarter mile going down the road, you're off the road. So when you have an abnormal microbiome, that's affected by what we've eaten, what we've drank, the medications we've taken, the air we breathe, that's developed over time. When you have an abnormal microbiome that turns the steering wheel just a little bit, that modulates the concentration of the nerve hormones in the brain called neurotransmitters, all of a sudden, down the road, you're off the road. You've got depression, or you've got anxiety, or you've got bipolar disorder, or you've got schizophrenia. I mean, there are so many studies on this now that the microbiome modulates, is the term, most function in our body, including our hormone productions. I use the example of the brain because it's in front of my brain. I wrote the book, You Can Fix Your Brain, and a lot of it's about the microbiome, and people learn a lot about how to rebuild a microbiome there. But that same concept is true in the amount of estrogen that you make. And then the cofactors that determine how your body uses that estrogen. You know, we have 3 different estrogens, and they all can be metabolized down 3 different pathways, 2, 4, 16 methoxyestrone. So there's a number of different pathways that your body can use your hormones in. And the amount of the hormone and the way the hormones are used is controlled, is modulated by your microbiome. And there's no question that we know about hormones and PCOS and the correlation between imbalances in your hormones and what type of function you have from your ovaries and where these cysts might be coming from, what contributes to them. And when you go back upstream, you find out that the microbiome is a key player in the development of hormone balancing in your body.
Very neat. So I feel like this is brand new research, you know, as we're talking about this right now, that's actually is going to be presented at the Endocrine Society's annual meeting. And I think that this might change the standard of care, hopefully for women with PCOS beyond just birth control or metformin, and you know, think about, I mean, I can see this, you know, now coming, maybe it takes a year or so, who knows, but maybe, you know, the endocrinologist or gynecologist might be inclined to recommend a probiotic complex or that sort of thing for someone who has PCOS when they're looking at this new research. And basically what it says is that, you know, it says the study builds on recent research by the same investigators showing that the human gut microbiome or gut bacterial composition is less diverse in women with PCOS. And their new results suggest that altering the gut microbiome via prebiotic or probiotic therapies may be a potential treatment option for PCOS, and that this could be also promising for prevention of obesity and signs of diabetes also in mice they found when they, it was a very fascinating study because they actually had, you know, different types of food they were giving, and the ones that actually had more diverse microbiomes, they actually had less symptoms of, you know, insulin resistance and all those sort of things. So probably not doing justice to this study, but just basically, you know, how can, you know, someone who actually is reading this research, how could you implement that instead of, I guess, changing your diet, definitely, but what types of probiotics would be good, and how could we use this research to our advantage?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And first, let me comment that the average is 17 years. The medical research is showing us that it's 17 years from the time that translational research, which means changes the way you doctors think, like the study that you're reading from now, that's translational research about PCOS and the microbiome. The average is 17 years before the doctor down the street is using this information in their practice.
Oh, that's not
good. The average.
Wow.
That's not the exception. That's the average across disciplines, not just in obstetrics and gynecology, but in neurology and gastroenterology and dermatology and cardiology. 17 years is the average. So it's really important that the individual understand some of these basic principles so that they can initiate the safe things that you can do at home while your doctor is learning about this. So when you're following podcasts like your podcast on a particular topic like PCOS or the podcast on diabetes or the podcast on Alzheimer's. And you know, the Alzheimer's Association came out this year and said one in three elders now dies with dementia or Alzheimer's. One in three. Now, and we all are scared to death about our brains. And so we bury our heads in the sand and don't do anything about it. So what we're saying to you here is the exact same protocol that you have to create a healthy foundational microbiome, irrespective of what waterfall you've fallen over and what pond you're now in, whether it's diabetes or obesity or PCOS or recurrent miscarriages. It doesn't matter what pond you've fallen into in terms of the first introductory thing that people must do is create a diverse, balanced microbiome. Critically important across the board. And there are hundreds of studies on this topic now that are coming out. Hundreds of studies. It's not just this one that you are quoting, which is a good study and is eye-opening for a lot of gynecologists and people who specialize, and endocrinologists, people that specialize in PCOS. But many, many studies are showing that the first step is to build a healthy, diverse microbiome. So there's no one pill that you can take. There's no one probiotic that's going to make the difference. It really is a bigger picture than that to create a healthy environment for your reproductive tissue and your reproductive system in terms of the microbiome. And as you study this, you know, I've been at this now for 40 years, literally. It's embarrassing to say 40 years. I guess that means I'm an old guy now. But it's so clear when you read study after study after study after study. And, you know, I'm here in Seattle right now teaching at the Institute for Functional Medicine's 5-day course called Applied Functional Medicine and Clinical Practice. And we're teaching all of these doctors the same basic concepts. They're with us for 5 days, 5 full days that they devote of their life out of their practice, away from their families, spending the thousands of dollars that it takes to do this, to be here to learn these basic concepts that relate to all aspects of health. And after the welcome yesterday, the very first talk they get that's science-oriented is me, talking about the microbiome. And because and all week long, they'll hear from cardiologists and gynecologists and neurologists and internists and nutritionists. All week long, we give them basic information to build the platform, and then you learn more because you can't get it all in 5 days, right? But you get the basics, the platform to stand on. And the very first talk they get is from me about the microbiome, because it doesn't matter what waterfall you've fallen over. Yes, you can do short-term things like hormone therapy and some dietary changes that are really great, but the foundation has to be a healthy microbiome. It has to be. So the topic here that I think would be of best value for your listeners is, in the time that we have together, is how do I build a healthy microbiome?
That's a good question.
Critically important. And first thing to understand, there's no one pill that you take. There are things that will help, but there's no one pill that you take for this. So if I may, I'll just start going through some of the things that we recommend to all of our patients and that we're teaching the doctors here.
Yeah, great.
So the first thing comes from and this is going to sound silly, but this comes from my friends, Drs. Michael Ash and Anthony Haynes in London. And there they call it stewed apples. Here we call it applesauce. And you make your own applesauce. Take 4 to 6 apples, depending on how big your family is. Always organic, always organic. Apples are one of the most toxic fruits if you don't buy organic. And so you always want organic. And wash them off. Dice them. Throw away the seeds. Don't include the seeds or the core. Throw away the seeds and dice them up and throw them in a pot. Add water to about 1/3 the height of the apples in the pot. Throw some cinnamon in there, a couple of raisins maybe if you have kids, so it's even a little bit sweeter. Turn it on high, bring it to a boil, and in about 8 minutes to 11, 12 minutes, depending, you look in there. When you see a shine on the skin of the apples, it's done. Turn it off. The shine is the pectin that's deep in the tissue now being released up to the surface of the apple. Pectin feeds and increases the most powerful hormone in your gut called intestinal alkaline phosphatase, IAP. IAP does many great things for you. It helps to feed the good bacteria, helps the good bacteria grab onto the walls and colonize to form more colonies. It is bactericidal, so it kills some of the bad bacteria. It lowers cholesterol, lowers triglycerides, increases insulin sensitivity, so stabilizes blood sugar more, and reduces there's this toxic stuff called LPS that people get that goes through the walls of the intestines into the bloodstream. And when it gets in the bloodstream, it's called endotoxin. Reduces endotoxin by 73%.
Wow.
So this is an incredible substance to help feed the good bacteria in your gut, is intestinal alkaline phosphatase. And you increase your levels of IAP dramatically by eating a little bit of applesauce every day. Hmm. And it has to be fresh. You can't buy the commercial stuff. That won't work. And so you have 2-3 tablespoons a day. And have your kids help you make it, so then they made it, so then they'll help you with it. You know, they'll eat it every day, a couple of tablespoons. And it heals intestinal permeability also. So and that's just one little food that seems to help. Next, Mrs. Patient, when you go shopping and you buy your vegetables, always buy organic, because the inorganic vegetables with glyphosate on it and these other insecticides and pesticides kills the good bacteria in your gut. and you're trying to build the families, the diversity of good bacteria in your gut. So always get organic. But when you're buying your vegetables, buy every root vegetable in the store. Buy turnips, parsnips, rutabaga, radishes, carrots, sweet potatoes, not so many white potatoes because of the sugar impact on insulin sensitivity. Every other root vegetable in the store. And every day you have one root vegetable. And people say, well, I don't know how to cook turnips. Well, neither do I. But I just made this great meal for my daughter in Chicago 3 nights ago. And what did I do? I sliced an onion, peeled a bunch of garlic, took a turnip and diced it up, washed it, and then diced it up, sauteed the onions and garlic and the turnip in there. And then I cut up a little leek and put it in there and just let it cook for a little bit. And then added a little bit of a sweet Thai chili for flavoring with some shrimp and served it over rice. It was really good. And I just cooked a turnip. And you do the same thing if it's a parsnip or if it's a rutabaga. You know, you don't have to be fancy and Julia Child to learn how to cook with root vegetables. But every day you have a different root vegetable. And then you go to that great library in the sky called Google. And you type in list of prebiotic foods, not probiotics, prebiotic foods. And you print out the list and you put it on your refrigerator. And you learn that bananas are a prebiotic. Artichokes are a prebiotic. Lots of natural, normal foods are prebiotics. So root vegetables are the best prebiotics. So you have one root vegetable and two from the list every single day. And what are you doing? You're feeding the good bacteria in your gut with the prebiotics. So the prebiotics feed the probiotics. And then the next thing you do is that you buy 5 different types of fermented vegetables at Whole Foods or your natural food store. Get organic, of course, and not pasteurized. Because the fermented vegetables, the fermentation process is producing hundreds, I'm not exaggerating, of families of good bacteria. And every day you have 1 forkful of a different fermented vegetable because you're inoculating your gut with the good bacteria. So you're inoculating with the good bacteria, hundreds of different families. You're feeding the good bacteria with the prebiotics, the root vegetables and 2 other prebiotics from the list you've done every single day for the rest of your life. Because the more you read about this, the more you're going to learn that a healthy, dynamic, vibrant microbiome is your biggest protection from everything that you're exposed to that causes inflammation. PCOS is an inflammatory disease. So you want to reduce the inflammation and you want to modulate, hands on the steering wheel, balancing hormones, estrogens, progesterone, testosterone. You want to balance all of that. And you want to balance your liver in its ability to work with the hormones that your reproductive system is making. Just go on Google and type in liver and probiotics or liver and gut microbiota. And you'll see there's hundreds of studies on liver function. Not only the studies on PCOS you're referring to, but on liver function and on hormone balancing and brain function. So once again, it doesn't matter what pond you've fallen into to protect you and your family. The first thing you have to do to be healthy is to understand that for the rest of your lives, not just right now because you're suffering, but for the rest of your lives, you're going to put this much attention every day on building and protecting a healthy microbiome.
Very cool, because I think a lot of people just assume, I'll just have to see what's going on with my gut because I have to do this gut test and then I have to buy a probiotic, but I don't know which one. And then They just kind of throw their hands up like, I just don't know where to start. So start with food, I think is what you're saying. And that's something everyone can do. Yeah.
You bet. We knew that back in the 1980s, you know, that what probiotic do I buy and which one do I take? Now, taking probiotics, the supplements is a good idea. And there's something called the Gut Restoration Program. And if you go online and look at Megaspore is the name of the products, and you look at those, spore-based probiotic therapy is much better than taking probiotics, because hydrochloric acid in your stomach kills most of the probiotics that you take. But when you take the spore-based probiotics, the spores have this protective case around them, each of them, so they can go right through the stomach to get into the gut, and then they inoculate in the gut. So if you look up the gut restoration program, you'll see there's three things that are recommended to take. And so you supplement with those. We have our patients take them for 2 to 3 months while they're building their lifestyle of the foods that they eat. And they notice they start functioning better within a really short period of time. And how do you know that you've got a great microbiome? Well, before I answer that question, there's one more thing that everybody's got to do, irrespective of what pond you've fallen into. Well, there are many things, but this is a really important one. And that is, every day when you wake up, the first thing you do, most people go to the bathroom. After that, the very next thing, you drink 2 big glasses of water. 2 big glasses of water. And you count. During the day, you want 1/2 ounce of water per pound body weight total for the day. So if you weigh 150 pounds, that's 75 ounces of water. That's more than 1/2 gallon a day. Oh my God, I'll be peeing all day. That's the idea, is that you've got to flush out the toxins that our bodies have accumulated that have contributed to the development of PCOS. I'm sure you've had people on your podcast that talk about toxins and detoxing.
Yes.
Well, the way that you accelerate the detoxing and prevent the accumulation of more toxins in the future is drink enough water. That's the first thing you do. Everyone in the family, 1/2 ounce of water per pound body weight. So that's the first thing you do. Then, how do you know that you're developing a healthy, vibrant microbiome? You have bowel movements that are so great, you just want to tell your partner or your spouse, I just had the best bowel movement. I feel like $1 million. You know, we don't talk about that kind of stuff, but everybody's had the experience of a really good bowel movement and you just feel relaxed. And that's the way our guts are supposed to function every day. We live such high, stressful lives. That doesn't happen so often. So you rebuild the process of rebuilding a healthy microbiome, drinking enough water is the very first step when addressing PCOS. And it can have a profound impact on your symptom pattern and on arresting the development of PCOS.
Very nice. And is there a particular type of anything you put in the water, just any lemon or anything, or just straight water you recommend?
Well, you know, that's a good question. There's a lot of evidence, and I personally do this myself, with the 2 glasses of water you drink in the morning, big 8-ounce glasses, that's the first thing. But then after that, you know, I go in the kitchen and I turn on the hot water thing and make some hot water. And I'll have hot water with a little bit of lemon and a little bit of honey. Some people will do hot water with vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and a little bit of honey. But the idea of lemon is an excellent one. Hot water and lemon first thing in the morning relaxes your gut, helps to acidify it a little bit in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And most people will have a response that's better functioning gut when you include a little hot water and lemon in the morning.
Very nice. Awesome. Okay. And so basically this applesauce you're referring to, you could refrigerate that like for the next day, or do you have to make it fresh every day?
No. I make enough to last 4 or 5 days. Keep it in a glass container, not plastic containers. You want to know about the impact of plastics? Mm-hmm. Just Google phthalates and PCOS, and you'll see the contribution of toxic plastics to the development of hormone imbalances and hormone-related disorders like PCOS. So everyone needs to get glass storage containers in the kitchen. You give the Tupperware containers to your husband to store nails in the garage.
There you go.
For that. Mm-hmm.
Very good. And do you think that this whole issue with the biome, I mean, they say that, you know, PCOS, it can start an early age and we're pretty much born with that. And, you know, the whole question of like epigenetics comes up and all that around. A lot of times we see families who's, you know, the mother has PCOS, the sisters, the aunts. And so, you know, knowing that perhaps you are a woman with PCOS and you are pregnant, and maybe perhaps you're going to do a C-section because you've had a previous surgery or that sort of thing. So you're not passing along your microbiome, you know, through a vaginal birth, what would, you know, I know this is a little off the subject, but what could you do as far as making your gut biome optimal during pregnancy as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Exactly what I've just outlined is extremely safe in pregnancy. The gut restoration program is extremely safe. The applesauce, the root vegetables, two other prebiotics per day. That is the protocol to rebuild a healthy microbiome. Now, I've not seen any studies that have said it's safer to have a planned C-section to avoid passing on the microbiome. Mm-hmm. I've not seen any studies that have said, perhaps you have.
Oh, no, I haven't. I just thought a lot of times our patients have had fibroid surgery as well, myomectomies, and they are, you know, facing a C-section.
Yeah, if you're facing a C-section, if that's a necessity, that's understood, you know, and of course, you know, the life of the baby is much more important. Mm-hmm. But in those cases, there's some pretty good evidence and some good studies that if the obstetrician in the delivery room takes a sponge and inserts the sponge in the vaginal canal, and when baby's born by C-section, you wipe baby's face with the sponge so that you're trying to inoculate the baby with that good bacteria that, you know, mom's birth canal in the eighth month of pregnancy, the microbiome of the vaginal tract completely changes in the eighth month of pregnancy, preparing for birth. And it has a much higher concentration of what's called Prevotella. Usually, in the non-pregnant state, it's hardly noticeable Prevotella in the vaginal microbiome. But in the eighth month of pregnancy, it's the highest concentration in the vaginal microbiome. Why is that? Because Prevotella carries the message, here's the structure of the food you're about to get from this mammal that is birthing you, mom. And here's the structure of the food. What? The breast milk. So baby is getting instruction as baby is being born to prepare and to turn on the genes to digest the kinds of proteins that are coming from mom. And then colostrum, the first 3 days of mother's milk, is not milk, it's colostrum. Colostrum turns on more genes. Okay, it's time to heal that intestinal permeability now, the leaky gut, because every baby in utero has severe intestinal permeability. It's normal. But when baby is born, it's time to close those tight junctions. And that's the job of colostrum, is to send that message to baby's genes in the gut saying, all right, let's turn on these genes. Let's close those tight junctions. And now here comes that food for you in the next couple of days, reinforcing the message of the vaginal microbiome and many more messages that baby gets from colostrum and from the vaginal microbiome. Critically important, though, if you're planning a C-section out of necessity, okay, good. Thank God for our technology today that, you know, we can do that and mom is safe and baby is safe. The sponge techniques, just Google sponge use in C-sections and you just read a couple of the articles on it and you see how safe it is and how valuable it is to help give baby a fighting chance. Because if baby is born by C-section, baby's microbiome is the bacteria in the surgical room and on the skin of the people in the room, the nurses and the doctors and mom's skin, not the microbiome inside of mom. And so those babies are much, much more sensitive to allergies and asthma and breathing difficulties and eczema as they grow. Much more sensitive because their gut thinks the normal bacteria for their microbiome is the microbiome in the surgical room as opposed to the microbiome inside the body.
Oh, interesting. I really have never researched that. I'm going to look that up and we're going to link to this, all this good information in our show notes too, so that you can go there to our website and check that out. And definitely what you mentioned with your gut restoration, is that found on your website or?
It is.
Okay.
It is. And you also can learn more by reading the book, You Can Fix Your Brain, which is number one in 7 categories on Amazon for brain function, which is really
and that,
great.
That's a great book. I think that a lot of women with PCOS, we tend to have sometimes a mental fog too as well.
Yeah, and here's the reason why I reference this book for this interview is because the protocols that we talk about are not for the brain. They're for the body. They're for the microbiome. They're for determining what foods work for me and what foods don't. They're for the environment. What type of air do I need to breathe and how toxic is my air? Just Google mold and PCOS. And you'll see the studies that moms who breathe so much, or women that have so much mold infestation because of their homes, that they have a higher risk of PCOS. So you'll see all of these studies about our lives. So this concept of going back upstream and not being stuck in the pond of your diagnosis is critically important to understand. You know, it's important to stay afloat, life jacket medicine. It's important to stay afloat in the pond that you're in. But the mechanism to understand why am I in this pond and how do I get out of this pond is the same for PCOS as it is for brain dysfunction, as it is for obesity, as it is for diabetes. The mechanisms, the questions you have to ask are the same questions.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, this is so helpful. I feel like, you know, if you guys do check out his book, Dr. Tom's book, I think it'll be really helpful as well, because a lot of things are illuminated as we're talking that you might not really think about with PCOS. So I think that this is a great place to start. And, you know, giving your gut a chance, it doesn't mean you have to supplement, you know, with a ton of things, but, you know, finding what works for you is important. And, you know, like I said, this is great lifelong strategy. I love things that you can do till you're 80 or 90 or right. 100 if you're lucky, you know. So
that's right. That's exactly right.
So thank you so much for sharing with us today, Dr. Tom. And if you guys have any questions at all, you can hop onto our Facebook page or our website and post your questions there as well. And we look forward to speaking with you again. So thank you very much for everyone listening. And once again, thank you for being here, Dr. Tom.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode, you have to check out the PCOS Revolution Academy, where we go through all of these topics in an easy-to-follow, totally online, step-by-step process so you can stop giving PCOS the upper hand. Join me over at thepcosrevolution.com to find out more about how you can sign up and also get access to some very cool freebies I've created for you. I'd love to have you join me inside of the Academy for our monthly live Q&A session to get all of your PCOS questions answered personally.
Thanks so much for listening and see you soon.